As the weeks have gone by, through this time of pandemics, there's been a portion of scripture that has been coming back to me over and over again. It's a portion of scripture that I think we're all aware of, a portion of scripture that we've read before. And as we consider this portion of scripture, there's a question that I like to pose. And the question is, are you prepared? Are you ready? You see, when this pandemic first started, Julie and I were finishing dinner with our daughter down in Long Beach. We received a phone call, and we were informed that the county of Ventura was going to be shut down. And it would probably be a good idea to make sure that we have enough ample food and water and supplies for at least 30 days. And when I spoke to Julie about it, she says, we're good. You know, we have got 10 mouths to feed. She always keeps our pantry stocked. But it would be good to stop and maybe see if we can pick up a few extra items. And I believe that evening, about 10:30, we stopped off at Stater Brothers, only to be surprised that at 10:30 at night, Stater Brothers was completely packed. No rice, no pasta, no flour, and as we all know, no toilet paper. You know, it came from a credible source. Brother Bata informed us of that. And we see that these things came to pass, that we are now in lockdown. And it just resonated to me the same question, am I prepared? Are you prepared? And as the weeks went on, in the different conversations that I've been having with different people, the end times have come up. Oh, we're really getting close. The world's coming to an end. Lord laid on my heart to speak about the 10 virgins, 5 that were wise and 5 that were foolish. But as the conversation went on and they're talking about the end times, the chapter preceding that, or prior to that, I'm sorry, talks about the end times. And if you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start reading from verse 32. But before we do that, let's ask the Lord to come and be in our midst. Father in heaven, we open your word and we ask and pray that you would speak to us. Lord, that your word would be powerful. And that as we contemplate the message this morning, those that already listened in on Bible class about Ezekiel and the bones coming to life, signifying Israel coming back. Only a God like you can do that. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would bless your word and bless the speaking, Lord. Ask and pray that you would lay on my heart and my lips the words that would only come for you. And Lord, that the focus would not be on me, but on the words that you would have for all of us to hear and to listen and to understand and meditate. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24, and we're going to start with verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no man know, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in that days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until that day the Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord, your Lord, doth come. But know this, that if the bridegroom of the house had known in that which the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So then is a faithful, and who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, else shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out, meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Dear God and our Heavenly Father, as we have come here this morning, our though we are few in number in this sexual building, we're thankful, Lord, to realize and understand and believe that Thy Holy Spirit is with us, present, and that many brethren are with us through Thy Spirit, lifting our hearts and minds and voices unto the heavenly throne. Lord, as we are experiencing this season in life of uncertainty and unknown, we are thankful that Thy word remains forever, and that everything that has been written some 2,000 years ago pertaining to end times is slowly but surely coming to fulfillment. And the question and the message is correct, and it is timely for every generation, for Thy word clearly proclaims that today and the hour is not known, only unto Thee, O God. But in the very same chapter as we have begun the reading, we can find many a signposts indicating that Thy return, Lord Jesus, is very soon and very nigh. These signposts have been throughout the generations, and many, many naysayers may say, when will that be? The generation to generation has lived on and nothing has happened. But we know, O God, that there are elements around us that indicate that truly that hour is very close. And to this end, O Father, we ask that in this hour we would draw our attention to thy word and thy instruction and promises, as it was in, even in the days of Noah, that we would not be overcome with daily activities and miss the signs of the time that we live in, and use every opportunity, including this one, to draw our attention to thy word and instruction, and truly have ourselves ready, but not just ourselves, to use this time, to use this opportunity, to point others to Christ, so that all this would be to thy honor and glory. We ask a blessing upon Brother Dave and his meditation this morning, that thou wouldst bless the speaking and exposition of thy word, and thou wouldst bless each and everyone that would listen, for the message comes from thee, O God, through thy living word. For we humbly ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dushko. You know, we didn't read the beginning portion of verse 24. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. It was the time that the disciples were with Jesus. And they came to the temple. And it was a beautiful temple. And they said to Jesus, "Look at this temple." They wanted to show him the awesomeness, the beauty of this temple. And Jesus replies, "You see all these things? There's going to come a time when there will not be one stone left upon the other." Scripture doesn't tell us, but as we go on and continue on reading, this kind of didn't sit well with the disciples, because in verse 3, when they were privately at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" You see, they wanted to know when these things were going to be. They're no different than you and I. Many of us are curious. Many of us want to know. And then Jesus goes on and gives examples of things that will happen. Nations will rise against nations. People will come in my name saying, "I'm Christ." False prophets will rise. Kingdom, and there's just a lot of things that will happen. And for generations, man has tried to pinpoint the exact date and time of the second coming. But he goes on and he says in 32 to the disciples, "Learn the parable of a fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know summer is nigh." You see, Jesus did not give a specific date or time when the end of the world was going to be. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us, as we read, no one knows the date and the time of when that's going to happen. Only the Father in heaven. No, not even the angels, Scripture tells us. No one knows the hour, but my Father only. So why then do we continue on trying to find out the date and the time? For those of you that are around Y2K, when the year 2000 hit, oh, the computers were in a crash. This was going to be the end of the world. This was going to be the end of time. And look, now we're in 2020, 20 years later. We're still here. But he gives us indications. And he goes on in verse 37. He says it's going to be like the days of Noah, for the days that's going to come before the flood. They were eating, they were drinking, they were given in marriage, until that day. You see, it took 120 years for Noah to build this ark. Kind of a long time. And as Brother Dushko mentioned in his prayer, how many times are people saying, "Well, yeah, this has been happening over, you know, generations come and gone, and they're still haven't seen the coming." But there are marks, as we go on our way that indicate that the time is near. It's very near. So what is our response? In verse 42, he talks about unfaithful, the faithful and the unfaithful servants. You see, if you knew the time and the date of when somebody would come in and rob your house, you would be well prepared so that that wouldn't happen. And then Scripture talks about an unfaithful servant. A servant who has been waiting for a while for his master to come back. And in verse 48, he says, "My Lord delayeth his coming." And that word "delayeth" is a word that signifies time. And because some time has already gone, the perception is he's not coming back. Or at least not for a long time. And so Scripture goes on and says that he began to engage in activities of eating and drinking and fighting his fellow servants. See, Jesus made it clear. He made it very clear that he's coming back. He tells us in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." He says, "And if it were not so, I would tell you." He's coming back literally. He's coming back physically. And he's coming back to take his own and to reward those that follow him. The ones he's made righteous, not by their works, but by his blood. But then he continues on and says, "That the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of." See, there's going to come a time, Scripture tells us, he's coming back for us. And I'm going to ask the question again. The question starts with me, and then I ask that question to all of you that are watching and listening. Are you prepared? As I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, that we were given credible information that the county of Ventura was going to shut down and to be prepared, to make sure that we have enough food and water. The credibility is strong. The words that we have in Scripture that has been proven through time and time, credible words, that Jesus is coming back. He is going to come back. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? If not, Scripture tells us in verse 51 of chapter 24 what the outcome will be. Then he goes on to in chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And this is something that I've been thinking about and contemplating. Being prepared. This parable of 10 virgins. Before I get into the parable of the 10 virgins, I want to explain something to you. Something about how the Jewish weddings were at that time. And as I was studying this, a lot of things came and made sense to me. You see, there are three elements to a Jewish wedding. The first element is the element of the engagement, the element of one being engaged with another. At that time, they were arranged marriages. The mother and the father picked
the bride and the groom, or the husband and the wife, or the spouse for their children. Unlike so today, I think a lot of the kids nowadays and the children nowadays would really kind of frown upon that. And some of the parents perhaps may, looking back, would have liked to have that still as a tradition. So the first element were the arranged marriages by the parents. Your mother and your father telling you who you're going to marry and who you're not going to marry. The second element was the traditional ceremony. The bridegroom, accompanied by his friends, would go to the home of the bride's home and claim her as his own. This was often this is often referred to as the betrothed. It was the time that the vows were exchanged. It was a time that if there was any payments or purchases were done for the price of the son or the daughter, it was established. And the marriage covenant was made. Exchanging promises and vows in the presence of family and friends. And that at that point, they were considered married. If you remember Joseph, when he was betrothed with Mary, and he found out that she was with child, and he wanted to put her away. He wanted to divorce her, but he didn't. He put her away so that she wouldn't be stoned or killed or to save the embarrassment. This was that period. This was that time. During this period, the marriages couldn't be annulled. They were married. If the husband died during this period, the spouse would be considered a widow. And during this time, which can last either a few days, weeks, months, or even as long as a year, the groom then would leave and go establish a place, a home, perhaps get a job first, get some money to buy land, or a place where he can start his life with his bride. A place that would be suitable for her. And during that time, the couples don't live together. Their marriage is not consummated. They remain celibate. And once that's established, once the groom has saved up enough money, bought a house, found a suitable place for his bride, he then would come back to the home and take his bride. But see, there was never a time, they didn't have phones back then. They didn't have cell phones like we have now. There was no communication. When they went, they did not know. When he went, she did not know when he would return. It could be a week, it could be months. It could be a year. And it was up to the bride to wait in anticipation for her groom. And when he would return to the father's house, they would celebrate the wedding feast for the next 7 days. And back then, weddings were a huge social event. So I want you to keep that in mind as we look at chapter 25 about the 10 virgins. And it all makes sense. These 10 virgins, these brides were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But Scripture tells us 5 took their oil in their lamps. 5 of them that were wise. And the 5 foolish took no oil with them. And if we kind of dig a little bit deeper, we see that outwardly they appeared the same. They were in the right place at the right time. They had the right garment. They all had lanterns.
But something was missing. Some were prepared and some were not. And that's the point of this parable. The foolish took their lamps but no oil. The wise took oil in their lamps. And for the foolish, we would say that's a miscalculated risk, thinking that the bridegroom would only come in the daytime. Or they'll be ready, they'll prepare, not knowing really when he's going to show up. They all had lanterns, but not all of them had oil for the lanterns. And in today's day, a lantern is like a flashlight without batteries. What good is it? When Scripture talks about oil, it talks about anointing. It talks about the Holy Spirit, which was missing in the lives of these five foolish. It says the five bridesmaids had a form of godliness, but that they were denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5 tells us that. There was really no spiritual life. There are those that go through Christian motions emotionally and intellectually, but are not born again by the Spirit of God. There is no real repentance. There's not that personal relationship with Christ. The focus is elsewhere and not on that relationship with Christ. Scripture says they're clouds without water, hearts that are not prepared, hearts that are not anticipating Christ's return. And their actions displayed the condition of their heart. And this is where it exposes the problem of the five foolish bridesmaids. All the bridesmaids knew that the groom was going to come. There was going to be a time when he was going to come. As a matter of fact, they waited at the bridegroom's home. So did the five foolish know they had no oil? Yeah, they knew. And if they knew, didn't they? Why they didn't have oil? Why didn't they do something about it? People have unlimited excuses as to why they don't or didn't. While the bridegroom delayed his coming, all were slumbering and sleeping. The coming of Jesus may seem delayed from a human perspective, but not from God's perspective. The Lord is not slack, as some count slackness. The coming of Jesus is going to happen on time. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. And when the bridegroom came, and they shouted with a voice, "Get ready!" And when the five foolish said, "Give us some of your oil, we don't have any," the wise says, "No, go out and buy oil." But you know, right now, there's something that you can purchase, but not by us, not by me or not by you. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in with them to the wedding. Scripture says, and the door was shut. The door was closed. The time is over. The opportunity to participate in the wedding is past. The question is, did they care? Did the five foolish care? They cared, perhaps. Just like those of you that come to church every Sunday or prior to the pandemic, I think you care. Those of you that have come to Pine Valley or camp, I think you're there because you care. There may be some other reasons. But just because you care doesn't mean you're prepared. There are those that think they're invincible, that they have more time. Christ will wait for me to be saved. I'll wait till I'm 16. Or I'll wait till I graduate from high school. Perhaps I'll graduate from college. Maybe after I get married. Maybe after I quit my job, or maybe after I get my job. Maybe after I stop drinking or stop doing drugs. Maybe things in my life when they get better. Maybe the relationship with my parents or my father or my spouse needs to be better. I'll just wait. I'll wait. I'll just wait. And that's what you're doing. You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. When will be that time for you to be ready? The big question is, are you prepared inside your heart? The foolish cared. They were there, they were waiting, but they weren't prepared. You know, Scripture tells us that at midnight was the cry. And there are a lot of other portions of Scripture that talks about midnight cries. Exodus 12:29 tells us that at midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. They had an opportunity to put that blood on the doorpost. And when they went to bed, they would know that they would be safe. You see, they did not know when that time would come, and it came at midnight. My dear friend, you who have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know when your clock strikes 12. You don't know when the Lord's going to come back. And if you think you've got time, I'm going to ask you to think again, because you don't. You see, on that judgment day, there is no one that's going to say, I had no chance, I had no choice, I didn't have the opportunity to accept Jesus as my Savior. And no one is going to find themselves either in heaven or hell accidentally. My brother and sister, are we complacent in our lives? What are we doing in our lives to prepare ourselves for our groom to come? Are we in the Word? Are we in anticipation? Are we eagerly waiting for his return? And are we living lives that would be acceptable to him? Are we keeping our garment clean? Because verse 13 again says, and it said also in verse 24, chapter 24, watch there, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So I'd like to ask the question again. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? This week, I challenge you to go back and reread this portion of Scripture. I challenge you to reread 24 and 25. But more so, that you stop and you consider and take inventory of your life. And I take inventory of my life. Do I have that personal relationship with Jesus? Am I walking a walk that would be pleasing in his sight? We're human. We're going to fail. We're going to do things that we shouldn't be doing. But see, when we have Jesus on our side, we can go to him and repent. And he will forgive us. You see, no one knows the hour nor the date in which the Son of Man is coming. Are you prepared? May God bless his word.